This podcast is all about relationship goals, and I have a book club, and my latest selection was Relationship Goals by Michael Todd. Michael Todd is a pastor. This book is amazing, and there's four chapters in particular that I think everybody from, especially my around my age group, needs to read. And that's the intentional dating chapter, Does It Need to End, Surrender Your Sexuality, and All Tied Up. But before we get to that, I want to talk about another relationship that's been all in the news, all on the Shade Room, all on Facebook, all in text threads, and that's Will and Jada. So last podcast, Kelly and I discussed their situation, and we were waiting for Jada to come to the table, and she came to the table with Will. And Will was very passive aggressive. At one point, you know, she was talking using all these words, because like I saw somebody say she's mastered how to say a lot without saying nothing. So she's saying all these words, he's healing, and I just wanted to feel, and blah, blah, blah. And Will would cut her off and be like, Jada, what did you do? What did you do? I'm gonna get you back. I'm gonna get you back. You know what I mean? So he was, it seemed like my man was real upset. And then I called, actually, Taylor called me. My friend Taylor called me to see what I thought about it. And when we were talking, she had an interesting perspective. So I'm gonna let her go ahead and give her spiel. Taylor, what do you think of this Will and Jada and August Alsina situation?
Lord have mercy. Well, hey, everybody. Hey. I'm just going to give this quick disclaimer. Will and Jada's marriage should not be public conversation, but it's already public, so we're going to talk about it. my biggest thing were, when I watched the Red Table, I saw that there was a lack of ownership. I saw double standard, and I saw a lot of selfishness. And the reason why I say that is, number one, if we just look at the facts of what happened, if everything was flipped and this was Will, there will be a witch hunt. Let's just say that.
Oh,
because
for sure.
Not only because of the age gap between Jada and August, we can say and we can see that she preyed upon him in a very vulnerable time and used him for her own selfish needs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with that at all. And another thing that I didn't like was just the selfishness at the table. My premarital counselor has this quote that he told me and my fiance to kind of remember, and it's, public protection yields private privilege. And Jada did not protect Will at the Red Table at all. She just told her truth. And some people will say, well, she has a right to that truth. Yeah, if she was just talking about herself or something that happened when she was a kid, but you're bringing this marriage to the table with your husband present, and you're not protecting him because this is for the public. Had this been in like a therapy session where nobody will ever see this, then yeah, she can be as raw as real as she wants to and just be like, yeah, I did it. I healed myself. I feel good about it. But the fact that she did not protect Will in that moment, it left him to just be torn to shreds. And Will has, like, debatably one of the most, like, blemish-free careers. Like, honestly, the man never even cussed in his rap songs. And, like, now he's just being slaughtered by social media because of all of this. And I really, really hate to see it, honestly.
She got my man Will looking real weak on social media. I saw the funniest
really
thing
sad.
My mom sent to me this morning. And it was like, it was a meme of Will. And he's looking and he's like, well, you can't even kill her because then if when she dies, she'll fall in love with Tupac or be with Tupac in heaven or something like that. I was like, man, they got my man Will looking real weak out here, man.
I hate that for him. I hate that for Will, man.
Yes, for real. For real. And this goes to another point, too. Stop making these celebrities your relationship goals, because
correct.
People fall correct. In love with the curb appeal, but when you walk in the house, the plumbing messed up, you know what I mean? They got rats all over the place, but the outside look real good, you know what I mean?
And
so stop
can,
basing
yeah.
your relationship off these celebrities, not only celebrities, but other couples you see on social media. Mm-hmm. You know
correct.
What I mean? Do y'all, Kelly, you have anything to add?
Just the same thing mm-hmm. that you were going to say is everybody loves to base it off of a highlight reel, because essentially that's what celebrities are giving us anyways. We're never going
like
to have
that.
A full
highlight reel.
Insight to their relationship. So every relationship is going to have a problem. Unfortunately, theirs has to be public because August decided to come out about it. But mm-hmm. I like what you had said, that she needed to protect him during that conversation. And he mm-hmm. was just look. I had texted Kyrie and I was like, he definitely still looks hurt about all of it.
Yeah.
Just the comments he made and the fact that he's like, oh, I'm going to get you back for that. He thinks he's joking, mm-hmm. or people think he's joking, but no, he's being serious.
He's very damn serious. No, he's serious.
He's dead serious.
I really hate that one. I really do.
And you can even catch the part when Jada was like, nah, you already did. You already did.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. For sure. But the one good thing that came out of the Red Table Talk, other than memes, and you know, comic relief was that, yeah, was that they showed in their, you know, interesting way that marriage is not all gravy. You know what I mean? It's gonna be some times where you just don't like the person, and I'm speaking from people I've heard because I'm not married yet, so don't, you know. But yeah, it's gonna be some times where things are not all peachy. So I think they, in that regard, they did a good job of, you know, illuminating that point, even though they might have not handled that situation the best way.
They definitely highlighted unconditional love and all of that, you know, and unfortunately, their unconditional love comes with August. I don't want that person. I don't want August or June in my life. But that's just part of their story, man, and I really wish that would have stayed between their four walls, because it really wasn't nobody's business, especially since they worked through it, like, it was nobody's business. August was a little hurt puppy. That's why he did that.
Right. And nobody is really talking about Jaden or Willow and the fact that you have to come to this realization that, one, this guy that was in your house and had this brotherly, you know, relationship with, and that is close to your age, your mom is screwing. Like, that has to be, you know, something to deal with there. Like, you know. That's a therapy session on its own.
But, you know, just looking at the kids, they probably were like, oh, well, mom got her healing, so she's fine. Like, maybe they just, maybe Willow's didn't register, like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, oh, mom, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, I hate that for them. I really do. I hope they can bounce back from this quickly, because Will don't deserve this, man. Will don't do nothing to nobody. He gave us the Fresh Prince. We need to protect Will.
Fresh Prince, Hancock, Ali. You know what I mean? The first rapper to win a Grammy. And he ain't cursed. Like you said, he ain't even used cuss words on his rap records, man. Will does not deserve this.
Well, a little comment before, and we don't have to have a full discussion about it, but did you see that they're trying to basically say that him and Margot Robbie, now they're trying to release all those pictures of them when they were filming? Because they'll never do that.
Right.
They're trying to bring him down.
And Jada, you can tell, like, Will done been through it. First, Willow writing letters to Tupac, who she never met, talking about, we miss you. And then Jaden on Twitter talking about Tyler Creator is his dad, when his dad is Will Smith. Like, I don't understand. But and Jada talking about Tupac, every chance she gets, Tupac is mentioned.
Every
and now this, Will, man, look. Hey, man, next time you're in the camera, do a signal, man. We see you. We see you, Will.
Blink twice.
Yeah, blink twice something.
Yellow shirt.
We see you.
Seriously, get out, Will.
For real. All right, that's it for Hot Topics today. Taylor, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Taylor will be back September 4th because we're doing if you don't know, and you should know, that September 4th is Beyonce's birthday, and we will be doing a Beyonce podcast special for Beyonce all an hour, 2 hours, however long it's going to take. Beyonce special September 4th featuring me, Kelly, and Taylor. So be prepared for that. Of course.
We got like a auto tune for that one.
I thought that things like this get better with time. Ooh, but I still vocals. See you. Oh, why is that? All right. Bye, Taylor. All right. The first chapter that we are going to go over is intentional dating. And we live in a generation that is hell-bent on what Michael Todd calls recreational dating.
Yeah.
Hookups, situationships, I'm just trying to get some free food. I'm just
entanglement.
Yeah. Let's go. See, that's what I needed. See, I couldn't get that through text message. Okay. That's what I mean. You see the improv, right? The ad lib. I feel it. I couldn't get that through the text, right? Entanglement. Okay. My guitar, you need to release a bonus edition book and write a whole chapter on entanglement. But so yeah, this generation is full of entanglements in that kind of situation. And a lot of those situations do not pan out to what people claim they want. So this chapter speaks on intentional dating and having intent and goals. And also with that, keeping God in the center of the dating process. Also, because a lot of people talk about, you know, keeping God in marriage, but they don't really talk about it during dating. So I'm going to just go ahead and read the questions. I'll go one by one. The questions that I sent you guys, and then we'll go from there. So the first question was, Michael Todd explained the difference between recreational dating and intentional dating. Recreational dating is dating that is focused on having fun and getting experiences. Intentional dating is being purposeful. It's driven by a clear goal to determine whether the person you are dating is right for you to marry. When did you guys make the jump from being recreational to intentional?
Hey, you want to go?
I'll be honest, our relationship, when we started dating, we never started out as recreational.
We never jumped.
We never had a jump.
It'd always been that way from the
get-go. Always an intentional thing because of our friendship and the group of friends we hung around, it just kind of turned into an intentional thing. And I know I'm a Christian, so I'm going to be super spiritual right now.
Got to. The book is Christian. It's written by a pastor, so go ahead.
The one thing that I had no intention of actually dating during the time that we started dating.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard from God basically saying, this is your wife. So when I heard that, like I said, it was no more recreational things. It was
had a purpose.
I had a purpose. I had a set goal. This is my wife. So I'm about to date her, to get to know her, to make sure that I'm hearing correctly from God
right.
that this is my wife. So, but yeah, I don't think we ever did that between us two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point, because I'm somebody who has done a lot of recreational dating myself. And my current girlfriend, I didn't exactly hear that from, I don't think. Maybe I have. Maybe I've been fighting it for a while. But I do have that feeling that you had with Alencia that, okay, this girl is it.
Yeah.
Like, some of that has to do with, obviously, her as a person, me, my age. Because I think because we've been friends for 6 years.
Wow.
And I was always attracted, but I never pursued because it just wasn't where I was at the time. I was, you know, boom, boom. I'm worried about having the baddest girl in the world walk in the door with me. That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
And have sex. It was just being 100% on the, you know, because we keep it 100. So that was my intentions. But when it came to her, and I was like, I can't let her go, because everything that I say I want when it comes to marriage and having children and having all my children have the same parents, because that's something I didn't grow up with. And that's always been a big thing for me. Like that's got it. And so when, you know, we took that jump from being friends, I was like, I got to like that. I got to like this down, because she is the one.
Aww.
So,
talk about it.
Yeah, talk about it. This is my vows right here. I ain't writing nothing else. Y'all just play this audio track when we right get married. Right? But, okay. So you guys didn't stay in the recreational stage long. So
We never went to a recreational
okay.
stage. So
right.
even with the definition you gave of just kind of like pretty much dating to have fun and have experience and stuff like that versus dating specifically intentional with a purpose, with a goal in mind, like that's just kind of where we started.
If you want to say recreational stage in this way, it was our friendship. stage.
Which I'm going to get to. I'm going to get to later.
That's pretty much what
But, okay. So you didn't do that with each other, but have you ever stayed in a recreational stage too long? And what was the effects of that? Kelly, I want you to talk about this too. But what was the effects of staying in that situation too long if you guys have ever done that?
I have never done that.
He never did that because.
No, I'll be 100%. I'll be 100% honest. I told my mom I'm not dating any girls unless it's the. Mm-hmm. It's my wife. I told her that from a young age. Mm-hmm. I think I was like maybe 13, 14 years old. I told her that, and I did it.
So I was his first real girlfriend.
Ooh.
And then he wifed it.
And the only one.
And the only.
Say it, girl.
But, okay, so me, it was kind of same, but kind of different. Because I was in a relationship before him for a very long time. Yeah. The guy that I was with before him, I actually thought I was going to marry. I was with him for 6 years. And the crazy thing about that is, based on the question, I still didn't consider it recreational. Mm-hmm. Even though we were young, in my mind, I always knew what I wanted. I knew I always wanted to be a wife. I knew I always wanted family. And just for me personally, I never liked to entertain the idea or the thought of, oh, I just want to date and have fun and like do this and go whatever and do it. Like, if I was going to be with you, I was in that relationship because I thought that was it. I thought it was going to last. So it didn't.
But knowing him.
Okay, that's where I'm getting to the question. He said, okay, I don't know how you worded it, but like how if we kept that going on too long, Jesus Christ. It was the most toxic relationship ever.
Don't say too much because that's the next chapter. Okay. But go ahead. Yeah, say that.
Okay, I'll save it.
Is that Dyson?
Yes, that was your Dyson.
But
it was toxic. I stayed too long. So to answer.
Hey, Dyson.
To answer your question, I stayed too long and it damaged me.
Yeah.
To where I had to go through like a whole other long journey of healing because I stayed there way, way longer, years longer than I should have.
Cut that because I want you to save all that good stuff.
Okay.
We going there.
I'm
next
over
chapter.
It. Over it.
You have anything to add?
Explain the question to me again.
Have you ever stayed in like a recreational stage too long? Like you didn't push the guy to another level, like y'all just stayed stuck in this one spot to where it wasn't serious, but y'all, like a situationship. Have you ever stayed in like in a situationship or entanglement? That's the word of the day. Have you ever stayed in entanglement too long?
Of course,
and what was the effects of that, do you think?
Obviously, nothing ever came of the relationship, but I'm just like them where if I was in a relationship, it was because I wanted it to go somewhere and I was taking it seriously and it wasn't just recreational and having fun and stuff like that. There might be one relationship in my entire life where I could think I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere and I still entertained it and it was a mess.
To make a long story short.
Yeah. I'll save the good stuff for the next chapter.
Ooh, the next chapter going to be juicy. But don't skip ahead of this. When you're listening, don't skip. But all right, so in the book, he talks about dating for the glory of God. And to people, that's not religious. Mm-hmm. Like, that would sound like, oh, like, what does that mean? But to you guys, what did that look like for you guys, like dating for the glory of God?
Can I go first?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I think dating for the glory of God, when we kind of talked about it, we thought about just making sure that our lives were an example that would bring God glory, which kind of just pretty much means to exalt him, to make sure that he's being seen, he's being shown. At the core of who we are, even apart, our lives were that we wanted to surrender a lifestyle to God. So whether we were together or apart, like that was a common goal. So with that being said, I think it goes back to just like this generation, like in our peers, people we live in, we see a lot of things, like I guess the word is still entanglement. And there's a lot of selfishness, people go into relationships really wanting to get their needs met and not always looking to meet the needs of others. They have an idea of what a relationship will look like and they go based off of just their own thoughts, but it's never really centered of how does this bring glory to God? How does this even please God? How can this be an example to others? So I think I don't know, the way that we did that is we just kept him first. I mean, I think it's still like a private issue. How he lived, how I lived, everything we did was to glorify God. So in our relationship, that was, for me, loving him, loving God by loving him, seeing mm-hmm. his flaws, seeing his imperfection, seeing the things that like weren't ideal or what I necessarily thought in my mind, mm-hmm. but like loving him through that, getting in arguments and figuring out what's a healthy way to go through this so that at the end goal, it's not about being right. At the end goal, it's, I want to hear and understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. I want to hear and understand where you're coming from. I want to make you better. He wants to make me better. Just everything we do, making sure that God's agenda is pushed through our lives and like his will is going and considering each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. You got anything to add?
Just short. Mm-hmm. He talks about relationship goals. I believe a goal is something to be obtained. Correct?
Correct.
But in the Bible, we are called to be examples to the believers. An example is different from a goal. A goal is something to be obtained. An example is something that's a guide. Mm-hmm. So I believe that's what a godly relationship is. It's we live for the glory of God to be an example of how to date, or we call it courting most times, mm-hmm. how to court godly, pretty much.
Right.
The basically, way he intended it.
The way it's been intended to with dating, being an example with a goal.
Right.
That's what God is intended for all of us. Mm-hmm. We want to be the example of the goal to reach, which is, so it's not us being the goal. It's us trying to reach the goal that God has set in front of us.
Yeah.
Right.
If that makes sense. Also.
So he had this one part in this chapter that I think is, I've been saying this for a long time. Mm-hmm. I always say that friendship is like the foundation to, it's the foundation to the house, but the house being your relationship and the friendship being the foundation of that. Because, I think in Proverbs it talks about like, things fading away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, no matter how beautiful your wife is, she could be like Halle Berry, but she's been divorced 3 times. Perfect example. Correct. You know what I mean? So even the sex can be great. It's going to get repetitive. Yeah. You're going to fall. Not that you're not going to love the person, but the infatuation phase will go and come. So the thing that's constant in the relationship to me is the friendship. And you guys seem to be the best of friends. Like, nobody makes Alencia laugh like Justin. And
Sometimes.
But y'all just saying to have a great friendship. And I think that's another reason why my girlfriend and I were able to go into our relationship so seamlessly is because we have been friends so long. Yeah. We had been friends, strictly friends, for 6 years before we dated. And so it was like an easy transition from that to, not easy, because you still got to learn a person in a different way. Yeah. But still, it was easier than, us trying to learn each other. So how has you guys' friendship and that great friendship that you do have impacted your relationship?
I say when we first started off, I am very picky with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very picky with my friends.
Like y'all don't even understand.
So
been having the same friends forever.
Really. A long time.
Mm-hmm.
So when we become friends, my main goal mm-hmm. is pretty much to figure out how you operate, what you like, what you don't like, because I want to be a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when we first started being friends, I studied Alencia, see what make her laugh.
Mm-hmm. Study your girl.
Go
ahead. to see just basically where her head is at.
Yeah.
So, but once I, once we got in the relationship, I started studying her even harder.
Mm-hmm.
We're just friends at the beginning. So.
Yeah.
But that friendship stage was... It was very good for us because I think at that time I was newly like come to Christ, I was saved for real at that point. Mm-hmm. And her and our other friends were like, they had been saved for a long time, but I was a heathen coming into all of that. But yeah, our friendship was kind of weird because I hated her.
Literally,
she was my friend, but she wasn't like a friend that I would be like, okay, let me call Lindsay and talk to her.
Yeah,
it wasn't that.
I was the friend that like he kind of.
She was
of,
the annoying friend.
Exactly. Yeah. He kind of enjoyed my company, but he also was just like, why do you have to laugh so loud? Like, does she have to come with us?
That's because he had grew up with my his sister and our cousin, Shardesa, and y'all had like the same laugh. And he like, man, I thought I escaped Shardesa's laugh, and then I kid, you know.
He literally be like, does she have to come out with us? Like, she's too loud. The people at the restaurants are like looking at us. He's like, please leave. You don't have to come.
I'm dead.
But yeah, no, at the same time, everything kind of grew on me, so. That didn't bother me as much, but getting to know her was fun because she was different from a lot of the other people. She was, you can tell, she was very genuine in the way she presented herself, the way she acted and everything, even if it was like she was acting kind of, you know, you're not dumb, but you were acting kind of dumb.
I'm extremely ditzy, which I can be, but I mean, yeah.
But I loved it. I loved it. So just knowing that she was the one that I was going to be married, I knew we were going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And for me with the friendship, we really weren't friends for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I'll say that sometimes the friendship isn't also just all about the length of time, although I do believe the longer that you are in the friendship stage, you get to know people, especially because there's so many different stages of life.
Right.
Like you might meet somebody in January and this is their situation and you're knowing them in the situation. Mm-hmm. But legit in April, their life could turn upside down and it could be a completely different world. You might see a totally different person.
Right.
So the longer that you get to know somebody in different seasons and stages and times of their life, you get to know different parts of them. You
right.
Never
I think
seen.
I know every part of Kelly. But
oh God.
And
but saying all that to say, we didn't like we didn't date for a long time, but we were really intentional about it. And I used to always annoyingly ask him, like all the time, "Do you consider us friends? Like, are we like just boyfriend and girlfriend? Like, or do you like really see me like as your friend?"
Yeah.
And he would be so annoyed because I probably, or maybe it was like every couple of weeks, I would ask him, and he'd be like, "I would never get into relationship with somebody that I didn't consider a friend. Like, you're my friend." Mm-hmm. But I was adamant about that friendship because I knew if we didn't have a strong friendship, that so many other of these areas weren't going to pan out.
Right.
Yeah.
So at the end of this chapter, Michael Todd gives three key points or tips to intentional dating. One is discuss your relationship fears. Have you ever had the discussion? Those are the kind of discussions with each other, like things that you fear, like I fear that you're going to hurt me. I've been hurt before and I fear that's going to happen here or any of that. Have y'all had any of those conversations?
Yes, but it did not happen at the beginning.
No.
Yeah. Like while you were married or just dating?
It happened while we were married. Didn't happen while we were dating. Didn't happen.
It was recently probably.
Yeah.
Like within the last year.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
How was that conversation? You don't have to get into the details, but
now it's this app. I'm finna plug the app. It's called Ultimate Intimacy, and
it's not just about sex.
No, it's not about sex.
But they have
great sex stuff. Great sex stuff. But
Songs of Solomon.
It's basically an app for you to be able to have conversations with each other. And I think we were on our way to Louisiana one day to have time with our friends for their birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And
graduation. Yeah,
that was in Dallas, Louisiana.
Anyway, okay.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm tripping. My bad.
Yeah. She really was. She really was about to let you just have it.
Yeah.
Pick your battles.
You're
another
right.
Plug.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay. Another big point.
But, the app was asking us various questions about our relationship, and we got to a point where it was asking us really hard questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to answer the questions. But when we answered, when I started answering those questions, I think her eyes were opened up a lot because she, through those questions, she's noticed how much I've changed over the years.
So, gotcha. You
want to go into that?
Yeah, I think it was a really deep conversation. I'm long-winded. He told me keep it short. Okay. I think what he said was really big. I think we talked about the dating phase before marriage, and you can learn a person in that phase, but I think it's really important that you continue to relearn the person, because a person evolves. A person changes. Life situations can make you, you know, evolve or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we've been married for 6 years and together for almost 8. And it was last year, like you said, we were on the way, we were playing this game. These questions were deep, y'all, like deep, deep. And I just remember looking at him and I was just like, we have to answer these, but like, let's make a pact right now. We are not going to get pissed off. Like, even if we get emotional, like if we get like upset, we are going to like for real dive in. But what ended up happening was, through me being completely transparent, vulnerable, naked before my husband in a way of my true thoughts, feelings, how we reacted to certain things that were going on in our life every day, like real life stuff while we're married, and the same for him, I realized I am still treating you and responding to you in a way that I knew you 8 years ago, when this is how you need to be loved in 2019.
Right.
Whether, you know, and it's totally, it can be really, really different. So we learned each other in a way we haven't, and we learned a new evolution of each other in a way we haven't. And it was just really powerful, really, really deep.
Right. To plug Jada and Will again, this is something I heard Will Smith say in an interview. He was like, you know, you never really stop learning the person you're married with. Never. Like, it's just, it's going to keep continuing. You think you know somebody, like, you have to reintroduce yourself to people. Yeah. And I heard that from Lauryn Hill. She was like, I have to reintroduce myself to my mother and father. That's what she said, because she's at a different place. Like, I'm not the same person. And, you know, you can't let people talk to you like you're the same person either. but he says, to the point of discuss your relationship fears, he says, by doing this, you each know something about your expectations. You get a chance to be protective of each other's hearts, and this vulnerability provides accountability later on. For example, if she says she wants to still be a virgin when she marries and he is pushing to have sex, that shows he doesn't care about her values. So I'm just read the next 2 points so we can get to the next chapter. 2 is agree on boundaries, and 3 is have focused conversations, which is kind of just what you said, the conversations you guys had because of the intimacy app. So the next chapter is, does it need to end? And this is talking about ending relationship. So I have a friend, her name is Leslie, and I asked her some questions like I asked you guys, because I know before that she was in kind of a relationship that she was in a little bit too long. So I asked her some questions, and the first question was, in what ways did you feel your past relationship was getting in the way of the plans and purposes you think God was calling you to? Because she's heavy in the church, just like you guys and all that. So she said, I don't think I fully understood what God was calling me to, and most days I still don't. But I do know God was asking for my whole heart, but my past relationship interfered with that because it became my whole world and my idol. I do believe your significant other eventually becomes everything in a healthy way, but my situation was unhealthy and obsessive. The second question I asked was, why did you go back so many times when you knew you shouldn't have? She says, because I was literally addicted. I felt like I was going to die if I wasn't with him. It was something that took me almost 10 years to let go of. I felt like he was it for me no matter what the signs showed. And regardless of how many times I could hear God asking me to sacrifice that relationship and move forward, I just fought back instead. Question number 3 was, when did you know it was time to end it? When I felt peace alone rather than with him. I couldn't be around him anymore without feeling anxious. Every time he got a notification or small things like that, I couldn't just be with him and be myself. I would get lost in my thoughts instead of being there with him. And I don't think I would have been able to see any of this if I hadn't taken so much time away. Once you're away and you go back to something, you can see better. And I was able to listen to myself and realize that this wasn't what I wanted. Even at one point, it was everything to me. The question 4 was, when you look back over your relationship, what are your thoughts? To be honest, I both smile and get sad. I smile because I think we really did love each other, but circumstances made it so unhealthy and took it down a path we both never intended. But then I have sadness because I lost a piece of myself. I had so many thoughts and dreams, and that situation left me so broken that I don't really know if I could ever be that whole again. I struggle with forgiving myself because I let myself be in that situation for so long. But even so, I'm thankful that I was able to experience all the moments and to learn all the lessons because it prepared me for where I am today. So I see the situation a lot. And what people were staying in relationships too long. And Kelly, this is where I really want you to, you know, come strong because you've stayed in relationships too long. And I want you to speak to why you felt that you had to. What kept you there? Was it, you know, I know a lot of women is like, women are nurturers by nature. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so when they see, that's why I think, I'm not generalizing, but a lot of women, especially women who are broken themselves, try to fix men. Yep. Never going to work unless the man wants to fix himself. So why did you think that you stayed in the situation so long?
It depends on what relationship you're talking about.
Just anyone. Just pick one. Nah. Like, okay, that's not bad. That's not bad. No. That's not. Yeah, she's savage. What? I'm just saying. I didn't mean it like that. Like, she just out here. Like,
all your relationships are bad.
Yeah.
Well.
So, all of them. Talk about
there are multiple aspects.
Talk about it.
Well, I'm going to try and sum up all of them.
Okay.
My parents have been together since they were 15 years old. And because of that, they have taught me that they're not easy and you're going to have to work. You're going to have to learn. You're going to have to not necessarily change, but you evolve to become better partners together. So I have a sense of loyalty where I don't want to give up on people. But it's also another thing, like he said, nurturing. I have realized looking back at all of my relationships, I was nurturing some type of issue that one of them had, whether that be their family didn't live in the United States, so I was trying to form into that family role, or the mom left, so I was forming, you know, to try and show them that women could be trusted again. So a lot of it is just but back and forth between, like, having that loyalty and knowing that relationships aren't easy, and I will probably fight and fight and fight until it's like I am literally at, you know, at a breaking point just because I'm not getting the same reciprocation. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's the reason why I stay. I feel like, you know, most of my relationships, and it kind of all of, you know, surrounds us too.
Yeah. All right. So we keep it 100 on here, right? All right. So, as a man, I have had the nurturing curse too. Because there's this quote that I saw that said, people who are spiritually strong attract people that are weak, or spiritually weak. So a lot of these women who came into my life, and this is another reason why I wanted to lock up my girlfriend, is because she was not that at all. Like, she didn't need me. Like, she ain't had no past problems. She wasn't going through nothing. She was just, you know, not that she don't have any problems, but, you know. So these women that would come in my life, all of them had something. All of them. And the last relationship I was in before I started talking to my girlfriend was a very emotional one. And, you know, and a lot of... We'll talk about the next two chapters. I'm going to combine the next two chapters because they're kind of on the same thing. But a lot of that had to do with sex. It had to do with me. Okay, we get along so great, so I'm going to just put it with her. You know, We got along great. We did. It's very toxic, right? But we got along great. And I was like, I'm going to stay. You know, she just need me right now. She boom, boom. And I stayed there way longer than I should have. And okay, I'm trying to, even up till it, because it's going into the next chapter, so I don't want to go too deep, but just know that even now, some things aren't still resolved with that situation within myself and her, you know? Yeah. But I'm gonna save that for later. But it's an interesting thing to know when to end it, because you don't, you're always keeping up this hope. And I remember my English, I had an English professor when I was in college. She said the reason people are so devastated when they break up with somebody, it's not because so much of the person, because it is, but it's because that image that they had in their mind is gone. Mm-hmm. You have this image of what your relationship should look like. Yeah. You have this image in your head of, you know, you married to the person and y'all having children. And the minute y'all break up, that's done. Mm-hmm. And so she was saying that that's the reason people are so hurt. Justin, you didn't really date until Alencia. Alencia, you had...
I didn't date. I like girls.
No, I know you like girls. I know you like girls. I know, I'm not
some,
saying that.
I had some friends.
Yeah, I'm not saying Justin was in the house, you know, all the time.
I was out there.
Yeah, he wasn't, you know, on a Nintendo 24/7, but... Alencia, you did have a long-term relationship, so I don't know. Did you end it? Did you end that relationship? Or
I did.
Okay, so when did you come to that realization, like, okay, it's time to boom?
I think what both of you just shared is probably, like, where mm-hmm. exactly where I was. Yeah. My parents also have been married for a very long time, and so I've just always seen that. I've wanted that. It's what was modeled before me. Mm-hmm. So I, too, just valued loyalty mm-hmm. and just genuine. And I'm a woman, so I do agree that we are nurturers. We are fixers. We look for broken things, and we just, you know, we do that. I think that's like something that's been put in us, but like it definitely can become toxic. So that is what that relationship was like for 6 years. I remember personally knowing it was time after year three, mm-hmm. but then I stayed another year and then another year and another year, yeah. literally 3 years too long. And I know for me, it went past just being loyal. It went past me trying to fix him, because the family situation was totally different. Then it was less than desirable. And I, mm-hmm. here's the thing. I genuinely loved him. That's yep. the thing. I did really grow to love him. Mm-hmm. But I was always trying to fix him, right. his life, his situations. I wanted better for him. And I felt like I could be the one to make it all better. So that took time. Also, after you spent that much time with somebody, mm-hmm. it's almost harder to leave because you don't want to start over.
Right. I remember, you got to learn somebody
you
else.
You have and, to learn somebody else. Yeah. And I remember at year three, I was like, I'm legit done with this dude. That is it.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, I'm like, I don't think I can start over again. And the next year, I thought the same thing. I don't want to start over again. I don't want to start over again. No matter how much he hurt me, there was like, the word is not infidelity because we were not married, but there was cheating mm-hmm. in that relationship. Oh, like
that's a lot of the reason why people stay in marriages too.
That is true.
That's true.
Yeah. That is true. You don't want to start over. In marriage.
Speak on it.
Anyway, yeah. answer your question. That's why I stayed. I didn't want to start over. I was yeah. loyal. I really, really loved and cared about him. But it was all weight on me. It mm. was, I lost myself completely. It was really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, like I said, you know, I've seen people steal in relationships that I think, like, because you never know what goes on in people's bedrooms. So mm-hmm. I don't want to go. I don't want to be like, you know, you should leave. But to me, it's like, dude, like, what are you? Why are you? Why?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I think, you know, when girls say this all the time, like when they let go of a guy and now they're glowing. I got to glow up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it literally physically shows on you when yeah. you let go yeah. of somebody. You yeah. know what I mean? And then you're just walking with, you know, exuding confidence now and all that. And you can see it on people. And I see it on people all the time, but they choose to stay. I don't understand why.
And everybody can see it
yeah.
before
yeah.
you can see it when you're actually in it.
Right.
When you're out of it, you're like, dang, yeah. what was I thinking?
Right. My mama don't care if I share this. She is the person we talk to all the time. We talk about all this. She's one, a person who stayed in their marriage too long. We talk about this at least once a week. He was like, mama. Like, what were you thinking? And she was like, I don't know. My mom is, you know, attractive, you know, independent, and, you know, like, really, mom? Like, but, you know, she had I had moved down here at this point, but you know, she had my other brother. She was thinking like me as far as, okay, I want one of my children to be around his dad. And, you know, she's staying for those kind of reasons, you know, instead of her happiness. And we would talk about it all the time. It's like, mama, you really depressed. Like, but we would think because the man's gone now. So she was like, man, there's so much peace around here now. Like, I'm so at peace. Like, nobody's bothering me. Because when he was there, my mom would be aggravated all the time, yelling, like, you know, but all the time, like, constantly. And at the time, you know, I wasn't really thinking. I don't think she was thinking, like, the reason I'm doing this is because I'm unhappy, you know?
Yeah.
And so when he got out of the situation, all of that, like you said, kind of illuminated, you know, after he left. And it's like, man, it's really peaceful around here since he left. So, to close this chapter, Michael Todd says, when you know God didn't start your relationship or it's picking on your promise, remember this about breaking up. Everybody gets blessed. And if that's not enough, let me tell you, breaking up is easy to do compared to the alternative, living with the consequences of sticking it out in a relationship you shouldn't even be in.
Wow.
I just want to add to that point. I know I'm supposed to close on that. But when he said, you know, the consequences, that's having a child with somebody you know you're not supposed to be with. Right. And now you got to be tied to this person for at least 18 years.
At least.
Mm-hmm. At least.
And it doesn't just affect you at that point.
No.
It affects that child.
Yeah. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. It does because when I have my mom and stepmom on here, there ain't many situations like that where the baby mama and mama getting along and, you know, mm-hmm. it's usually a lot of drama with that. Right. And so the child gets messed up out of that and all that. So consequences, guys. Actions do have consequences. So the last two chapters, I'm going to combine. All
right, let's do it.
And they are Surrender Your Sexuality and All Tied Up. All Tied Up is referring to soul ties. Let's get into it. So I know one person.
I wasn't prepared.
I know one person. One person. And I know a lot of people. A lot. I know one person that's my age that's still a virgin. And she just got off the phone.
That's awesome. That would be Taylor?
Yes. That's it.
Good job, Taylor.
She about to get married in August, so I'm pretty sure she probably going to skip the reception. Like, all right. All right. On to the Omni we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, enjoy the cake, though. But, one person. And I feel like if I was to come up to somebody and say that I was a virgin, people would look at me crazy because it's been so normalized. You cannot go on Twitter or any social media platform and not see something about sex every single
second
day. Yeah. And guys, I am about to get deep because this is something I've been passionate about. I've been working on this. And the reason I came to this realization is because I don't like putting people's business out. So I'm going to just beat around the bush a little bit and then get to my point. I was looking at my baby brother and I'm like, he can't grow up like this. Like with sex being so normal. Like I don't want that for him because I've seen the repercussions of that. Yeah. You know, and like I alluded to on previous podcasts, I wasn't as mature with Jared and Jaden, my other younger brothers. To kind of, you know, steer them in the right direction. Jerry is only 4 years younger than me, so he was with me, you know, he was with me. I'm actually the reason that Jerry lost his virginity, you know, at a I want to get totally transparent because, like, I'm not absolving myself from this by saying, like, all these people are about, no, I was complicit in this too. Like, my brother's way too young to be losing his virginity, and it was because of me.
Yeah.
But, So yeah, D is the reason that I came to this point, and because he's the reason I came to the point, but I had a realization myself. So once again, 100% in my room. No, not in my room yet. So I told myself that day, I'm not watching porn today. Not doing it. I'm not watching porn because I'm all about, and it wasn't even like a spiritual thing for me. In my head, it was more so me not liking things having control over me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I was like, I'm not watching porn today. I'm not doing it. I get home, get in my bed, I watch porn. Yeah. And at that point, I was like, this is an issue. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because there's no way that this should have that much control over me.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, like, this leads to other things. Yeah. Like, it's just not as simple as me, you know, watching porn. It's not that simple.
Yeah.
No, that's going to lead to many different things because that lust mm-hmm. is the hardest.
Yeah.
The hardest thing that I've ever had to deal with because I don't drink, I don't smoke. And so that's my thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and it's still ongoing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want anybody to think I'm like judging them for, because I'm there. Trust me, I'm there still. But I'm conscious of it. So, and I was like, yeah, that just has too much control of me. I have to do something about this. And I was like, let me get to Dion. Let me, because I had a conversation with him. I was like, dude, I want you to stay a virgin, knowing that he won't. But I have so much influence over him yeah. that he'll at least think about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He'll at least be like, because the thing he does not want to do is disappoint me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So even now, that, you know, he's 15, got a little girlfriend. If he does do anything, he'll come tell me. Like, man, you're going to be mad, blah, blah, blah. You're going to do the boom. Like, and that's the, and I'm like, hey, we doing pretty good now because yeah. by the time I was his age,
yeah,
I might have been 15 in by 15, just being honest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So by, you know, I'm just doing pretty good because it's this thing about generational curses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And me being, you know, and I'm seeing it and I'm like, dude, we got to create a different culture. Like,
yeah.
We got to create something where, you know, there's no baby mamas. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody got the same parents. Once again, I'm not judging nobody. I'm just saying we got to be real. We got to stop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have to stop that. It's not normal. And I wrote about this. I haven't released it yet. But I wrote about older men promoting sex. Like, even if they didn't tell it to you directly, it was being spoken about around you.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you want to, these guys are your heroes. You know what I mean? And nothing against these men because they are still my heroes in different ways. But if you want to please them, or, and that was my thing. Like, when I come around, my dad, my uncles, when I come around, Kyrie, they gonna be talking about me because Kyrie always gonna have the baddest girl with him, period. Like, always. That was my thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, dang, nephew, you know what I mean? So I'd be like, yeah, you know what I mean? I gotta, you know what I mean? And some of that is still the point. I'm not saying that I became friends with my friends because they look good, because they are genuinely my friends. But if you look at my friends, they are all very attractive. You know what I mean? So it just trickles down, and I'm just trying to change the culture. So after that long-winded spiel, I just had to get that out. What do you think about surrendering? Cause as he talked about surrendering your sexuality, which I haven't got to that point yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was an interesting chapter in the book. What do you think about how do we get to the point of surrendering your sexuality?
So I think that it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
We struggled. I will be happy to say that when we had sex, we were married.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say that it didn't almost happen,
mm-hmm.
or we weren't tempted, or we didn't want to, mm-hmm. or it was a couple close calls, right. You know.
Let's pray.
The struggle. No, let's pray. He was like, get out of my apartment. I'd be like,
go home now.
Yeah. He literally, it's kind of funny, kind of corny.
Yeah.
But he set the curfew for me and was like, you can't come to my apartment past 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was something about 10 o'clock. Like, if I came at 10 o'clock.
That's another thing Michael Todd said. He says, set boundaries.
Yeah.
He did say that. Set boundaries.
They're important. If I went over there before, like, we knew. Anyway, okay. Back to your question. Surrendering your sexuality.
Yeah.
I'm just going to talk on, I feel like if you're trying, for us, again, our foundation was keeping God at the center. Mm-hmm. Our foundation in, like I said, separately and together was, God, I want to please you. Mm-hmm. I want to please you by myself in this life, in this walk. I want to surrender every part of me, which includes my sexuality. Right. Again, that's whether I'm separate or together, mm-hmm. which is another point of, you need to make sure you are with somebody that y'all have the same values, y'all are walking the same direction. Because if you're with somebody who wants to do A and you want to do B, y'all are already starting off going the wrong way.
Right.
But because
we unequally yoked.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we did. We surrendered our sexuality. That does not mean that you're not going to be tempted. That doesn't mean you're not going to want it. But what it does mean is, God, I want to please you. Help me. I'm inviting you into this part. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I think for some reason people have this stigma about, well, a lot of stigmas about Christians, that either we think we're perfect. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Like, we don't. Right. Not saying there are no Christians who don't maybe have their persona, but yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not perfect. We realize that we need Christ to help us. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's no way that I could have not had sex with Justin on my own if I was doing it in my own strength. Right. I could say with my words, and I could try, I could set a routine for myself, I could do whatever. Mm-hmm. And just like you, how you said, you were saying, I am not going to watch right. porn today.
More like me.
Yes. Yeah. Like, you would be right there in the bed. Right. Now, pre-Justin, I'm going to kind of go back. Pre-Justin, mm-hmm. I was actively having sex, yeah. like, for years with the dude I was with. Obviously, I was with him for 6 years. Oh, sorry. I probably shouldn't have said that hard.
Yeah.
But. Sorry. Anyway,
it's a past entanglement, Justin.
It's a past entanglement.
Yeah. I was actively saving myself.
I know, baby. I wish I would have saved myself for him. But anyway, yeah. I remember saying that over and over and over. And it was a vow to God of, God, I'm not going to be in the bed this week. Like, I am not about to be screwing this dude this week. I really mean it. Like, I want to save myself for my husband because that's what you want. And I know your plans are best for us, blah, blah, blah. And it would be Sunday after church, an hour and a half after church, like when I leave from getting prayer, pastor's daughter, like I'm leaving, I'm in the bed yeah. with the dude. And it's like, you have to realize some things we just can't do in our own strength. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. And I know, you know, we might differ in opinion. I can tell you, I don't think you're going to do it by yourself. I don't think I'm going to do it by myself. Mm-hmm. I think it's the power of God when we choose to surrender and say, I need your help. Right. Like, that's the whole reason of grace. Grace not only covers you from some certain things you're going through, grace gives you the power to be able to do it. And so I think it was definitely only the grace of God that we made it to the wedding night yeah. and start having some real fun yeah. because, like, legit, night before the wedding, mm-hmm. almost didn't make it. Oh. You know what I'm saying? But, like, yeah. Surrendering to God, like surrendering surrendering that sexuality yeah. is putting it in his control, in his hands. And that's how I feel we were able to make it. And I feel that for anybody, mm-hmm. not just in sex, but in anything you're going through, mm-hmm. there's just some things humanly we cannot do without God.
Right. I might need to try that because Kyrie ain't doing it. You know what I mean? My flesh mm-hmm. ain't cutting it. Like, I don't have that discipline, to be honest, to be completely honest.
And you also have to have somebody that you're accountable to.
Yep,
that's true.
I think if you have somebody that you're accountable to in those weak times, they're there to help and guide you to mm-hmm. be strong in those moments and remind you, this is why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. So having somebody that's in your life that you're accountable to just really helps. I've had several brothers that I was accountable to,
mm-hmm.
and they tremendously helped during those times of weakness.
And would check us.
And definitely would check us. And not just be like, well, you got to do what you got to do. No.
No.
They were in my face, hey, bro, you cannot do that.
Yeah.
You got to find some. Come over here.
Yeah.
let's go play basketball. Let's go to the gym. We can play video games, do right. something, but something to take your mind off of.
Right. But, yeah. Want anything to add?
I'm probably not one to ask. Surrendering.
Do you know who I am?
I was going to say, maybe that's why there's not been a functional relationship yet for me. Because I remember there was a time where my friends were, you know, saying, all right, this relationship that I'm going into, I'm really interested in him. I'm not going to have sex until marriage. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. Yeah, it didn't happen. To say the least. Yeah. I don't even know if there was a week that went by.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think the more, which I was interested in you saying that you were like actively having sex before Justin, then you stopped cold turkey. That's impressive because the more you have it, I feel like the more you like, you know.
Absolutely.
You're like, okay, I got it. Because that goes to the next chapter, soul ties, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what that is, and it's so real. People do not really understand. Like, you can literally feel yourself acting like the person, you know, a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. Or you start, you know, feeling a certain way or thinking certain things. You're like, I never thought about this before. Like, why? A person I know, keep this confidential, slept with this girl who worshiped the devil. Mm-hmm. Right after that, downward spiral, like in a mental institution right after that. And it's like dang, this person was never really like that to that extreme before that. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it was like it just went all over the place. Yeah.
You really are accepting a piece.
Yes.
When you are sexually involved and entangled with another person. I just have to one more time. You really are taking a piece of them, mm-hmm. and it's entering you,
yes.
and vice versa, like a mm-hmm. piece of you into them. And that is the good and the bad.
Right.
It was meant for,
it was created to be good for what God intended it to be.
For the husband and the wife.
Yeah,
you know?
But you know, we like to
And that's not judgment everything. For any
Every,
of
no,
us.
No, no, no. I mean, no like, judgment. Like, once again, no judgment
yeah.
here. But the Bible does say that when you have sex with someone, you become one.
Correct.
When you marry someone, you become one.
Yeah.
So a lot of y'all need to get some divorces, including myself, because we married to some people we don't need to be married to, at least spiritually.
Yeah. And I had to actually do that. I had to like pray for like a period of time.
Right.
Just because I actually started dealing with things in real life that I knew I never dealt with before I was sexually involved with the dude that that I was having sex with, that I was together with in the relationship. I'll just say that.
Right.
And it wasn't easy to break. It wasn't easy to like, it didn't happen overnight. For me, it took years of healing. It takes time.
Yeah.
And I do believe that, of course, we're Christians who believe in God. So I always have to go back to that. I believe that God himself did the work, but it still wasn't an overnight process.
Right.
And you can see a lot of yourself change based on who you're connected to in a way that you never thought you could. I remember I thought I literally was going mentally crazy. Mm-hmm. I wanted to commit suicide and actually attempted before I got my life completely right.
Mm-hmm.
Because of everything that was going on with that relationship and everything that was happening and the connection and mm-hmm. just where it left me in pieces. I didn't feel whole. I wasn't myself. I was completely depressed. Lots of different things going on there, but mm-hmm. that soul tie is real and it's strong. And I heard people talk about it before, but until you live it mm-hmm. and experience that level of pain, hurt, and brokenness, like I'm very proud that you're saying you don't want this
mm-hmm.
and you want to be the one to break that cycle
mm-hmm.
because it's true. Like generational curses are for real. Generational things are for real that are passed down from us to the next generation, and not even just in sex, like financial curses, like structure of family, whatever that is. So I think if we can all just vow to try to be the change, mm-hmm. like knowing that it can start with us. It doesn't have to continue with our children. It doesn't have to continue with your brother, your children, you know?
Go ahead. Sorry.
I wanted to say something because the second that you said that your friend had slept with somebody who worshiped the devil, mm-hmm. I didn't really understand soul ties up until probably maybe 3 months ago. And I noticed I started searching it or looking into it because I was seeing somebody. I say that freely.
You were a recreational lead dating somebody.
But I wanted it. But I wanted it to be intentional, yeah. Okay? But sometimes it's not reciprocated.
Yeah.
Reciprocation, a whole nother episode.
Yes.
Yeah, a whole nother, yeah.
So when I started getting involved in that, I started noticing that everything in my life flipped upside down. Mm-hmm. And I had already known this about them. They were negative about a lot of things. I was always trying to be the positive one. But then it was like the second I'd hang up the phone, everything I was suffering was severe anxiety. I would be sitting somewhere and all of a sudden just get super overheated, felt like I was going to pass out. I was sick and tired of constantly feeling sick. And I was at that point desperate to just like detach myself from, and you can only imagine the different types of soul ties that are still connected if you haven't understood that that's something that is actually
right
a thing, you know, because when you do sleep with somebody, your energies intertwine. I like searched YouTube videos on like soul tie meditations or like the cord cutting, essentially they call it. And when I tell you, like, people can call me crazy, whatever they want. The second I did it and I just like solely focused on whatever it was telling me to do, it was like an immediate release. Like the anxiety, I don't have it anymore. It was just gone. And I was like, wow, this really is a thing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, I think that's it for the four chapters. But guys, I want this book. This book has so much good stuff in it. And it'll be something that you should... There are certain books that you should revisit periodically, like often. Like The Alchemist is one book like that for me that I had to revisit over and over again. This would be another book that I will definitely, if I go through stages of... Girl,
you see me. You'll see me next week.
But I don't let people borrow my books because I will buy you a book. Give me,
sir.
I will buy it for you.
Buy your own one. Then.
This is mine.
Then give it to me and then buy yourself one.
No, I'm gonna buy you one and send it to your address because I let Leslie, who was a part of this podcast, borrow one of my books and I haven't gotten it back yet. Sean, you another one that owed me a book. I'm calling all of y'all. They ruined it for y'all. Nobody borrowing books. I will rather buy you a book, send it to your house, because I collect my books. My books are my babies. Don't touch my books.
Amazon
Period.
Prime.
All right, that's all I do. Amazon Prime over here.
Overnight shipping.
Overnight, I got you. Anyway, let me close. So.
I keep talking.
This will be another book that you guys have to revisit. It's so much good. Even though it says relationship goals and... is for married people, single people, people that's dating. Everybody needs to read this book. I focus on four chapters, but the whole book is good. Thank you, Justin, Alencia, Leslie, Taylor, for joining me today. And we'll see you guys next week. Stay out of them entanglements.